Yes, I am back. I am back. It is good to be back. What is the story that you believe about your life? What story do you believe about your life? Not the story you tell other people, by the way, or the story that maybe you try to show everybody on, say, social media or YouTube. I mean, the deeper story that is running quietly underneath everything that's going on in your life. The story that you tell yourself about who you are. What is that story? What is the story that you tell about what you're worth? What's the story you tell yourself about what will make you happy? What's the story you tell yourself about what God thinks of you? Because whether we realize it or not, every one of us is living inside a story. Psychologists say human beings are narrative creatures. It's one of the things that separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. And what that means is that we make sense of our lives through stories. We interpret experiences through stories. Donald Miller, who speaks across the world about the power of story in a person's life, he says a story is the most powerful way to organize information because it's how the human brain works. The Bible, if you read it from cover to cover, is a story. It's a story told by God. We are story creatures. Now, as 21st century Americans, we oftentimes like to truncate things down to bullet points. And we try hard to do that. But in reality, we are all living inside a story that we have either been told or we have naturally created for ourselves. Our brains are constantly asking, what does this mean about me? What does this mean about the world? And in some cases, what does this mean about God? And over time, those interpretations become narratives in our lives, stories. And those stories, they turn into beliefs. And those beliefs, well, they become the life we live. Which means that the stories you believe, the stories that I believe, become the framework for how our lives are lived. If someone believes the story, I'm never enough, well, then they'll spend their life trying to prove themselves. If someone believes the story, I'm on my own, they'll live guarded and anxious their entire life. If someone believes the story, my worth comes from success, well, they'll chase achievement until they burn out. Now, of course, some of the stories we live by are true and good, but many of them are not. Many of them, in fact, are just plain lies. Blatant and ugly lies. Some of which were handed to us by our culture and our world. Some of which were handed to us and shaped by wounds. Some which were spoken over us by another person years ago, someone we trusted or someone who had authority in our life. And over time, those lies, those false stories, those false narratives quietly shape our hearts. They fuel our fear. They fuel our shame. They fuel our need to control. And it forces us to ask a really difficult question. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what if the narrative shaping your decisions, your identity, and your fears is actually built on a lie? What if that story that is shaping your life is a lie? It's untrue. It's false. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your family? What does that mean for your relationship with God? Well, fortunately, Jesus actually speaks directly to this topic in John chapter 8, which is where we're going to turn our attention to now. So if you haven't done so yet, you can open up the YouVersion Bible app and you can follow along with me there. One of the most dangerous things about lies is that they rarely announce themselves as lies. Have you noticed that? You never get a lie and they're like, hi, I'm a lie, believe me. That's not really how it works, right? They don't show up wearing a name tag that says, hello, I'm a destructive belief that will quietly shape your life. Most lies enter our lives very quietly. They slip in through an experience or a wound or a comment, a disappointment we don't understand. Before long, those moments, they shape into these stories that we tell ourselves. Right? A coach once said something critical and the story becomes, I'm not talented enough. A relationship ended painfully and the story becomes, people always leave. A family member had impossibly high expectations and the story becomes, I'm only valuable when I succeed. And you can see how those lies will shape a person's life and how they go about living and how destructive that can be to them and to the people around them. And at first, when we get this information, it feels like we're interpreting our situations. In some cases, it seems right. But over time, they become these beliefs that we have about ourselves and about God and about the world. And those beliefs, well, they begin to misshape the life that we live. And so if you believe that story, I'm not enough, you'll constantly be in this rat race to prove yourself. I've lived that story before. It's exhausting. If you believe the story that I have to control everything, nobody can do it right, everybody's got to do it my way, you'll live with constant anxiety. Some of you are living that story right now. You can't go to sleep at night. If you believe this story that God is somehow disappointed with you, you'll keep your distance from Him. You'll distrust Him. He's not worthy of my worship. You know, challenge is that once a lie becomes a part of our story, we rarely question it. It's just reality, right? It simply becomes the lens through which we see everything, an impossible, invisible lens that disguises as the truth. I'm not enough. That's not a lie. That's just true. That's my reality. I've been told that my whole life. I need to control everything. I have to. If I don't do it, who will? And so that's exactly why Jesus begins to say what he says in John chapter 8, which I hope this morning will be an antidote to the many lies that we believe, even as believers, as we'll see. Well, we are, as Kristen mentioned, in the second week of this series called Give It Up. As I was preparing for this time of the year, which is what we refer to as the Lenten season. You've maybe heard that term before, Lent. It's a common place for Christians around the world during the 40 days leading up to Easter to give something up as a sacrifice, if you will, to really reflect on and make room and space for God to maybe do something new. And so it's commonplace for Christians, maybe you're doing this now, to give something up like caffeine. No way, by the way. Or, you know, working out. Some of you gave up that, yeah, you know. Maybe you gave up meat. Maybe you gave up chocolate or social media, right? That's a common thing. And while it's an excellent exercise, by the way. And I would encourage you, if you feel compelled to do that, even in the middle of it. Our hope during the next few weeks is that we can actually look at giving up some things that go a lot deeper than our addiction to caffeine. You know, last week, Pastor Justin encouraged us to give up the grudges we are carrying around with us. I'm grateful for Justin. He did a great job. If you missed it, you can go online. You can watch it. Thank you for giving. Yeah, you can give him. Multi-talented gentleman. Kristen and I spent the weekend in Colorado Springs celebrating our 22nd anniversary. It was really great. So thanks for letting us have a little time away to do that. And today, we are going to look at giving up something that is often difficult to even spot, but is vital to allowing us to becoming the people God intends us to be. Now, in John chapter 8, Jesus is in Jerusalem during the Festival of Tabernacles. It's one of the major festivals of the Jewish calendar, and he's teaching publicly in the temple courts and around the area. And so crowds have gathered, religious leaders are watching closely, and as it always is with Jesus when he starts to do this, some tension is building among the crowd. Some people are beginning to really believe in Jesus, and we'll see that in this passage, while others Namely, the religious leaders, like the Pharisees, are becoming increasingly hostile towards Jesus. And so, into this charged environment, Jesus has a conversation that quickly moves from this subtle curiosity to straight up confrontation. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, these are people that have gathered and said, you're the Savior, you're the Messiah. He said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, say it with me, free. Okay, maybe you've heard that verse before. It's important. Now notice what Jesus is also implying here. If the truth will set you free, then what will lies do? Bind you, imprison you. And those lies about who you are, and lies about who God is, and lies about what will satisfy our souls, they will all hold us hostage and quietly shape the direction of our lives. But Jesus says, when we let truth, the teaching that he gives, reshape the stories and the narratives that shape our lives, something powerful happens. We begin to see reality differently than we once did. We begin to see ourselves differently than we once did. The voices of the stories that have shaped our lives for so long, they become quiet, almost non-existent. We begin to see God differently. And in all of that, Jesus says, you will find freedom. Freedom is the promise. Now, notice how even the believers react to Jesus' words here. These are people like you and me who have said, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I'm going to follow him. These are people. Look at how they respond to Jesus' word. I want you to notice how powerful the story that they have been living is in them. This is their response. But we are descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you'll be set free? The response, it reveals something really important. People who are living inside a lie rarely recognize it. Jesus is coming up against this story that they have believed their whole life. We've never been, you know, we've never been slaves to anyone. What is this freedom you're talking about? This is the story that we've always lived. I believe in you as Lord and Savior, but this is what I've been told my whole life. And now you're saying that I'm going to be set free? Set free from what? You see what's going on here? They can't even recognize the lie when the truth comes up against it. A writer, David Foster Wallace, once told a story that I think helps illustrate this a little bit. Maybe you've heard this. He describes these two young fish swimming along in the ocean. When they pass by this older fish, who nods at them and says, "Morning, how's the water?" And the two younger fish swim on for a bit. And then eventually one turns to the other and says, "What in the world is water?" Are you with me here, people? Are you away? Okay, great. The four people got it. All right, so here's the point of the story that David Wallace makes. Sometimes the things shaping us most are the things that we are least aware of. Those narratives are like the water to a fish. What water? The assumptions that we've absorbed over years and years and years of believing the lies we've learned to live by, this is where the people Jesus are speaking to are currently. And these are not his enemies. These are his followers. We are his followers. And so Jesus goes on in verse 34, because he knows I got to explain myself further. He says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." This is a different story than these folks have been told before. And he's talking about a kind of spiritual slavery that is shaped by the lies we believe. Lies like, "I have to prove my worth," or "I will finally be happy if I have more," "God is disappointed in me, my past defines me." And those lies, they quietly shape the life we build, because the story we believe is the story we live. The story that you believe, whatever it is the story that your life will reflect in this world. And so Jesus makes an incredible promise to them. And he says these words again. He says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Now notice, Jesus is not offering moral improvement here. He is not just offering behavior modification for you. He is offering a kind of freedom that you can't experience outside of the truth of the story that he's writing in this world. Freedom from shame, freedom from sin, freedom from the lies, the false narratives that keep us trapped. Jesus is inviting you into a different story. He's inviting those, even his believers, who are believing, listen, this is the story I've been told all my life. What do you mean I'm a slave? What do you mean I need to be free? He's inviting us into a different story where reality becomes shaped by truth and not by the lies and deceit that we've been told our entire lives. It's a story that says this, you are loved. You are forgiven. You are not defined by your worst moment. Yeah, Tim Keller famously once told this story of truth in like one sentence. He kind of captured it in one sentence brilliantly. And he writes, the gospel says you are more sinful than you ever dared believe, yet more loved than you ever dared hope. And so when Jesus says that you are a slave to your own sin, and yet when I enter your life and the truth of who I am and what I have come to bring begins to reshape the story in your life, you will be set free. The gospel says you're more sinful than you ever dare believe, but more loved than you ever dared hope. That is a radically different story than most of us have ever been told before, is it not? That is a radically different story than you will read on your newsfeed. That is a radically different story than you will see as you scroll through Instagram, as you have conversations with friends, as you have conversations with potential family. The world says your value comes from success and achievement, and Jesus says your value comes simply because you are loved by God. The world says, hide your failures. Don't show weakness. Jesus brings them into the light and you find grace. He goes so far as to say, if you want to be strong, it's in your weaknesses. He's kind of crazy, this Jesus guy. The world says, you're what you achieve. And Jesus says, you are who God says you are. It's a completely different story. And when we begin to live inside the truth, freedom begins. We begin to experience what we refer to at Genesis, a changed life. Yes. Shaped by the story of truth given to us by a loving, gracious, merciful God. Later in chapter 8, and we're going to kind of skip down to towards the end of chapter 8, Jesus, he pinpoints who's at the source of all of the lies in our life. And guess what? It's not your mom. It's not your coach. It's not the boyfriend that broke up with you 25 years ago or whatever it might be. It's not your ex-husband or ex-wife. They are not the source of these lies. Jesus refers to the source in verse 44. And he writes, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, the enemy's greatest weapon against you is not power. It's not strength. It's not even convincing you he's real. His greatest weapon is lies and deception. Because if the enemy, if Satan can shape the story that you believe about yourself, about God, about the world, well, guess what? He can then begin to shape the way that you live. In constant, contrarian nature to the way in which God had set it up in the first place. I want you to think about the very first temptation in Genesis, right? Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, beautiful. They're believing the truth of the story that God has told them. You are dust, or you're a breath of my breath, right? Like, you came from the dust, and I breathe life into you, and I give you all things, and we're in perfect harmony together. And what was it that the serpent did to convince them of a lie? Was it, did he overpower them? Did he show them, oh, you can be more wealthy? These things will make you happy? No, he just simply lies to them. He deceives them. He begins with the story. Did God really say all this? Can you really trust God's goodness? His intent wasn't to harm Jesus or overpower him. Even in the temptation in the wilderness, his intent was to tell Adam and Eve and Jesus and all of us that a lie that shapes the story we live. And he's still doing it today. He's still telling lies about God. He's still telling lies about you, about your identity. Lies about what will truly satisfy you. His ultimate goal is to quietly and surreptitiously get you to believe a story that's just a little off center from the truth. Not a lot, just a little. C.S. Lewis famously once wrote, "The devil's strategy is to whisper lies about God until we begin to doubt his goodness." Just a little lie at a time. And once that happens, the story we believe begins to shift. And when the story shifts, your life shifts with it. Here's a lie that a lot of us will tell ourselves. Simple lies, even among believers. One like, I don't really need to go to worship on Sunday morning that often, do I? Or, I don't really need to be associated with that many people in the church, do I? I could do this on my own. All I need is Jesus. It sounds great, right? But it's just a little off center, isn't it? And if you live that life, if you live that story long enough, guess what? It will end badly. The story we believe is the story we live. And the good news is that Jesus doesn't simply expose lies. He actually replaces them with truth. And his truth, he says, leads to freedom. And so when we immerse ourselves in truth, in the words of Jesus, in the scriptures of God, our inner narrative begins to change, right? The lie that says I'm not enough is replaced by, nope, I'm loved by God, and that is enough. The lie that says my past defines me is replaced by, nope, I'm a new creation in Christ. Yeah. The lie that says I gotta control everything is replaced with, I trust God with my entire life. And slowly truth begins to rewrite the story of our lives, and that story, Jesus says, leads to freedom. This morning, I want you to really consider the story you believe about yourself, about God, and other people. The story that is shaping your life right before your very eyes. Are your stories shaped by lies? Maybe just a little off center from the truth? Or by the truth of God's word? Are you living a life based on something God never said? And to do this, I want us to pray a powerful prayer this morning. And this comes from Psalm 139. If you've been around the church any length of time, you've maybe heard these words before, but I think they're really appropriate for us this morning. I'm going to read them kind of slowly. And I want to invite you, if you would, to just close your eyes. I want you to just listen to God's word this morning. This is truth being spoken into your life. And for some of you, for many of you, it is going to bump up against some of the lies that you've believed your entire life. Hear these words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Let me read that one phrase one more time. Point out anything in me that offends you. This is a courageous prayer because it asks God to search through the stories running inside us. It invites God to confront the lies that we have so easily believed, the fears we've carried for decades, the stories that are shaping our lives. And when God begins to expose those lies, when we pray this prayer, search my heart, test me, come up against those things that may offend you, those lies. One of the promises God makes every time, he doesn't shame us. He doesn't become condescending to us. He doesn't condemn us. Instead, Jesus says he frees you. When truth begins to reshape your heart, you begin to live a new story, a story of freedom and not bondage. A story defined by grace. A story defined by freedom and a story defined by God's love for you. And that is the kind of story, I don't know about you, that I want to live with the rest of my life. I don't want to live a story of lies anymore. I don't want to give the enemy that much power in my life anymore. And so when those lies come back tumbling in and whispered into my ears, I want to know the truth because I know that the truth will set me free. And I want that for you this morning as well. I want to get to the end of my life and go, you know what? The story I believed is the story I lived. And that story was not shaped by lies. It was shaped by the truth of God himself. And I didn't get it right every single day, but man, did God shape me and change me in a way that made an impact in my life and the world around me. So maybe the most important question we can ask today is this: what story is shaping your life right now? And are you willing to let Jesus rewrite it? Are you willing to be set free within it? Let's pray. God, I confess that I have easily been swayed by the lies of the enemy. Even this morning, speaking these words and hearing these words, I'm confronted with many of the lies and stories that I have believed my whole life. Lord, I know that all of us in this room, if you were to search our hearts, top to bottom, east to west, you would discover there's so many lies. And whether they're our own making or not, it doesn't matter. You would find those dark places in us that you need to come up against and replace with truth. And so this morning, I know that there are people who have come here this morning who are hurting. Who are hurting because the story they're living is a lie. And God, I pray that you would set them free this morning. You would speak truth to them. That their value in this world is not found in anything but you. And what you say is, you are valuable to me. You are a son and daughter of the living God, and you are loved. That you would speak to the story of shame. Say, I sent my son Jesus to come to set you free of that. That through his death on a cross, through his resurrection 3 days later, you no longer have to live the story of shame. You could be free of that. Jesus, I thank you for these words, how you so brilliantly and supernaturally spoke these words into a people 2,000 years ago that still apply to us today. May we be a people whose lives and whose stories that are telling that life, God, may they be shaped by your truth. May we remain in that all the days of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.